Happy Resurrection Day. Appreciate you joining us this morning. If you are a guest, which I'm sure we have lots of guests, it's Easter, we got family in town and those kinds of things, I want to just welcome you, say thanks for joining us, choosing to worship with us on this Sunday. And we do have a connect card for you, those that are new and looking for a church to connect with. We have a connect card out at our giving stations. It's an opportunity for you to give us your email or phone number, and our community life pastor, Jason Harris, will get a hold of you throughout the week, help you continue to connect. Uh-oh. And we also have a welcome packet out at the Welcome Center that's got some information in it about us as a church. So if you want to learn more about who we are, you can grab one of those. Today we're going to be taking communion towards the end of the message, and I have a couple of announcements for you. Besides that, next week, you also don't want to miss, next week's going to be a baptism service where we do worship like we did this morning, but we'll also be baptizing people. And so if you're interested in being baptized and you have any questions about that, I'm going to draw your attention to Jason Harris again. He'd be the man to talk to about getting signed up for that, or if you have questions about that, we would invite you to ask those questions. So you're going to want to take a look at that sign-up. It's on the Welcome Center out here in the lobby. You can also sign up on our website if you are interested. The other thing I want to let you know is our spring small groups menus just came out today. So out there on the Welcome Center, you can pick up one of those menus and look at a few of the small groups that are being offered for this short spring season before we dive into the summer. There's some groups that are going to be happening, so you're going to want to grab one of those. Next week is our sign-up Sunday, where all of our leaders gather out there in the lobby, and you have a chance to visit with them, ask details about their group, things like that. So there you go. I'm just going to do this. Yeah, I've been working out. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you today both celebrating what you've done for us and remembering the suffering that you went through on the cross on our behalf, where you took our place. You took that justice that was meant for us and you took it upon yourself on our behalf. And we thank you for that. I don't think we probably can quite imagine the pain that that was. And Lord, we thank you for your resurrection today and what that means for us as believers. The beginning of a new covenant and a movement of your people of every tribe and tongue and nation began with that resurrection. And so, Lord, we celebrate you today. I invite you, Lord, to be working by the power of your Spirit in every life that's here today, stirring in us, opening our hearts to receive from you, learning about you, taking another step in our journey with you. Lord, encourage your children today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Are we about ready? Mr. Colt, all right. I want to prompt your imagination a little bit this morning. Some people celebrate Good Friday. They take the time to remember the day that Jesus was nailed to the cross, when he suffered and died. And I want to put ourselves today in the shoes of his disciples. What was it like to be one of those people at the cross? Can you engage in your imagination a little bit with me today and put yourself in that place? Oops. They'd spent 3 years traveling with the greatest ministry the world had ever seen, power being demonstrated in ways that no one had ever seen before. And now they're watching it all unravel before their eyes. A man who was now being executed at the hands of those who did not like him. Watching their friend and their teacher suffer and die. What must that have been like for them? Hearing these words, what? I thought this was the Son of God. I thought he was restoring the kingdom. I thought he was coming as the Messiah that had been prophesied for these thousands of years in the Old Testament. How is it that he's now hanging on this cross and his life is about to end? And then you hear these words, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. What was it like to be there hearing those words. I don't want to manipulate you too much, but I think that all of us have been in a place where we've had to deal with the grief and the loss of a loved one. What it was like to be in this moment, even when they're getting ready to place Jesus in the tomb, his lifeless body, is a disturbing thought. It's not a good place to be. What are you dealing with in the moments after you lose a loved one? The shock, the grief, the pain. The pain of loss and death is great. That is what Jesus' disciples are feeling in this moment. How could the plan end this way? How did this happen? It has to be the end. The end of what we thought was going to happen. Of course, you and I know that's not actually how the rest of the story goes. It wasn't the end, but the disciples very well thought it was. And I've been asking myself this question about life this week. Do we think of death as the end? Is it my end? When I get to those days, will the credits just roll and it'll all be over? I've been a part of many celebration of life services or funerals, and oftentimes they save till the end the slideshow with the music. And it's just like the credits at the end of a movie when that music plays and those photos scroll and everybody's crying. Why? Because there's such a sense of finality. The pain of life and death is real. Are you uncomfortable yet? Why is JR taking us to such a dark thought and a dark place? Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin, the harsh reality of the consequences of sin within this creation is that we experience death. None of us is exempt from that experience. The sting of death. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. This is a really deep and a thoughtful verse. We know the sting. We can feel what the disciples felt because we've all felt it. We all know it. It's all too familiar, and it challenges us at every level. Then Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that's where I want to spend most of my time with you. He says to the Corinthians, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. There would be no Christianity today had Jesus not rose from the dead. He would have been the leader of a movement and a powerful man, but he died on a cross, and that was the end of his story. But it wasn't the end, was it? You know that I had that slide up there with the little Looney Tunes, the end, right? And I kind of wanted, if I were like a animation guy, I'd have Jesus from the back just rip it open and go, nope. I know someone in here probably could pull that off for me. If Jesus wasn't raised, then our preaching is in vain. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You know, at this time, people are saying there is no resurrection of the dead. I wonder, can I ask you the question and ask myself the question, are we living as though there's no resurrection of the dead? Are we buying into the same thing that the Corinthians were thinking at the time? Only Jesus got to do that. He's the Son of God after all. He didn't have any sin, and so sin and death couldn't hold him in the grave. It had no authority over him. That's not my case. Do we live as if there is no resurrection of the dead? Can I tell you today, there is resurrection of the dead. And I don't mean just the miracle that's possible. I'm talking about the culmination of all things. When God brings all of his design and all of his intentions to a close, at the end of days, the Bible teaches us that we will all be resurrected. What does that mean? It means this decaying body will be replaced with an undying body, just like Jesus. That's what first fruits means. He's the first of a harvest. He's the inclination or the indication of what's going to come. Because he rose, you and I will rise. And so when we celebrate this resurrection today, we remember that we are a people with hope. I want to remind you, you will resurrect. And that should inform the way you live and the way you think. Christ's resurrection in this verse just suddenly and wonderfully connects to all of us. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. So just like in Adam, when sin entered creation and all of us experienced death because of that, because we all sin, it's our heritage, Jesus also then comes that we might all be restored and resurrected with him. It's fun to consider Jesus, what he was like after he resurrected. Maybe you spent some time in the scriptures this last week thinking about it. When Jesus rose from the dead, he just appeared in places. He ate food. They recognized him, sort of. It just gives you all these indications of he was in a physical body. In fact, the Bible says they thought maybe it was a spirit. Maybe he was a ghost of some kind. Jesus says, no, ghosts don't have flesh. He had flesh. He had the eternal flesh, the eternal body, the resurrected body, the one that you also will enjoy someday. Isn't that a powerful thing? And the only reason you get to have that is because he took it upon himself to die on the cross and to carry the sin of the world, though he himself was innocent, and therefore rises and is given authority over all things. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. I was listening to my daughter talk to one of her friends this week, and they were looking at one of those investment calculators online. You know, when you're young, you know, maybe some of you were like this. When I was in my early 20s, I thought, boy, if I could just put $100 in an IRA for the next 40 years, where's that going to be when I retire? How many of you had that thought when you were young? How many of you understood interest and growth and those kind of things? And how many of you actually did it? Nice job. A few of us. I did not. I knew the math. Man, if I could just squeeze $50 a month out of my budget and put that into investments until I'm 40, I'm going to be a millionaire. You know, we don't see the long term very well. We didn't realize we actually would be 50 someday. Right? I'm not quite 50, by the way. And I'm looking back and going, I was 20 years old 15 minutes ago. If I would have put all that money, man, where would I be? I wonder, when we think of our own lives and we think of our own end, when it ends, do we really see the long term? Like, if you could go back and talk to yourself when you were 20, there's probably a lot of other things you would say too. But wouldn't you talk about thinking the long term? Remember when you're in high school? 4 years is forever. And all of a sudden it's over. And all of a sudden your kids are grown. And all of a sudden you're retired. We got to think in the long term in life. And I want to say also, think long term about who you actually are. I think we tend to think of death as the end, and we're like, well, the afterlife is just kind of this far off thing. I don't know a lot about it, so I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to live my best life, and then I'm going to die. And I want to tell you, don't think like that. Think big picture. Think bigger. Jenny, would you come up here? Sorry, I didn't warn you I was going to do this. I was going to have your son help me, but he's in children's church today. Maybe I've done this before. Have I? I probably have. Like my rope? Now you're going, what are we doing today? You know, when you think of your life on a timeline, if you could draw it out, Can you hold that? It's kind of heavy. Just stop right there. That's good. This is your life. Pull it up tight, would you? This is your life. Here's where you were born. And here you are moving along the rope of time. And somewhere down here, it ends for you here on earth. Might be down here. Might be up here. It ends. Where are you on that rope? Is this how you think about your life? Can I just tell you something that actually you're right about here? If you're 80 years old, you're right about here, and that's what's in front of you. In fact, would you just keep going? Keep letting out rope? Just keep going. In fact, why don't you just go till there's no more rope left? Okay, you get my point, don't you? Do you get my point? Live like your life today from 0 to 80 is right about here. It's this much, not even that much, of the eternity that you have to look forward to in Christ. That is a reality, not a theory. Live like that's your life, not like this is your life. Just like if you could encourage your younger self to make decisions. Thank you. Would you give Janny a hand? Vanna White's got nothing on you. Live like you're going to live forever. Investing in forever. Recognizing with a sense of hope and strength and security that it does not end when you die, and Jesus is our illustration for that. So in Christ, all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Maybe this is a little disturbing for you, but I think about this fairly regularly. I don't know where God's going to give me my new body. You know, I kind of want to be cremated and spread out somewhere in the woods or something. I don't know what'll happen. Somehow God will mysteriously and powerfully reanimate me in a new, eternal, imperishable flesh. That's amazing! You ever think about that? What's that going to look like in the cemetery when it happens? You drive by there today and it's quiet, and it's sad, and it's lonely. There will be a day that it ain't going to be lonely in that cemetery. It says at the last trumpet, the dead will rise imperishable. Sometimes we think of eternity as just sort of, I'm going to float off into outer space as a little angel. No, you're not. You're coming back in a body in the way that God designed mankind to be. And it says in Revelation at the end, he makes all things new. We continue in a created body. And how do we know this? Jesus. Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus is the demonstration of these things. When we give our lives to him, when we submit to that sacrifice, you can't earn it. You're not going to earn it. He holds it out to the world as a gift that's only received by faith, by believing what we hear. I believe that. And I believe that my life won't just end here. Paul says, if we have hope in this life only, then we're to be pitied above all people. He's saying, no, our hope isn't just this life. This life's a vapor. It's quick. It goes very quickly. First, he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Here we go. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Can anyone say thank you, Lord? Come on. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that this one thing that plagues humanity because of sin, the one path we all have to walk. That actually reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in the Lord of the Rings. How many Lord of the Rings fans do I have in here? Come on. Oh, man, it's the last movie. And the city's being overrun by bad guys. And Gandalf the wizard sits there with Pippin. And Pippin, they're just waiting their doom, and Pippin says, I didn't think it would end this way. Gandalf looks at him and goes, end? It doesn't end here. And then he describes eternity to him. He describes it like white shores, which actually, people believe that Tolkien was thinking that when he was in trenches of World War I, that he was picturing the white shores of England when he could go home. But Gandalf describes eternity that way, and Pippin says, well, that doesn't sound so bad. And Gandalf goes, no, it's not. Could I ask you to consider today taking to heart that kind of an attitude? It's not the end. It wasn't the end for Jesus, even though everybody thought it was. It's not going to be the end for you. Come on, last enemy to be destroyed is death. I want to read through this next few verses with you just to give you continued insight into what the scripture says. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. I did mention getting older a bit a few minutes ago. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. Kind of getting to that point in life where I'm like, I am on the downhill side of this process. And it makes me sad. It does. It grieves me sometimes. Getting older, as many of you can attest to, is not necessarily a pleasant experience. But we have this hope. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Why are we baptizing next week? Because people want new life. They want to leave the old behind. They want to identify with his death and resurrection. I'm going to step into that transformational power and work of Jesus Christ in my own soul. I'm going to begin that journey of letting him be God and me not, because I'm not very good at it. I'm surrendering to him, really, for real. I'm identifying with that death. The old me dies, and the new me comes out. That's what baptism represents, so that we can walk in newness of life. Can I also say that your eternal life doesn't begin after you die? It begins now. Don't wait till then. See, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. It's not just about punching a ticket so that when you die, you go somewhere. It's about actually embracing today the transformational power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit and begin to reform who you are. The you that you're not very good at changing, Jesus can step in and change in a moment and set you on a new journey, a path that gives life. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. This is really what we celebrate. It is a really cool event that a guy in ancient history rose from the dead. And a lot of people said that he did. That's pretty neat. That's worth celebrating. But the implications of that resurrection are so much greater. The impact that has on your existence is profound. Don't lose sight of what you're celebrating today in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's what you're celebrating. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Oh, it stings. It hurts today. But we have a hope for what's next. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. I said this earlier. But Jesus took that sin, and Jesus will take that sting. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living your life like when you die, that's the end? Jesus didn't. Has your life been a hard journey of suffering? challenges, joys and pains, all the things that life gives you, do you become hopeless and hapless? Do you begin to give up and to doubt, to lose your hope and your sight and think maybe this will be my end? Just go ahead and beat me to death, life. Let's get it over with. I want to challenge everyone's thinking this morning. Don't live like your death is the end of your life. Jesus didn't, and he is our example. Do you know that, you know, even as I'm talking and you're wrestling with, how do I embrace that journey? How do I invite God to be a part of my process? I need the change. I need the new life. I need the assurance of eternity. You know, Jesus stands there now with his hands extended to you. If you've run away, or if you've never embraced this Jesus, he's not an idea and he's not a religion. He's a being who exists and interacts with his creation. And he's inviting everyone to join him in relationship, to accept his gift of forgiveness that you cannot earn. And with that, that resurrection from the dead, the Bible says that all will be raised, some to eternal life and some to judgment. We all raise. Jesus beat death. How do you do that? It is simply an action of submitting your life to Christ, whatever that looks like. Maybe when we take communion today and you hold that bread and you hold that cup and you look at that and you say, Jesus, I accept your body that was broken and your blood that was shed on my behalf. I accept that. Just take one step. Jesus isn't a taskmaster who has all these hoops for you to jump through. He's just inviting you. And so you just start taking those little steps, whatever they are. Start stepping towards him. Today when we take communion, and if you do that, or maybe you need to talk to somebody that you came with, or somebody you know, you are more than welcome to come talk to me, or anybody that has one of these on. I forgot to take it off. We are here to help. We want to pray with you. We want to talk to you. Jesus changed my life radically. It's crazy to me that I'm standing here talking to you right now. He can change yours. He changes life. He's in the business of transformation. He breaks addiction. He breaks fear. He restores relationships. His way is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's so much power. All you have to do is say, JR, I'm not good enough. I've made too many mistakes. I'm too selfish. I know I am. I beg you, just take one step towards him. Just talk to him. Just invite him to be a part of your process a little every day and watch his power start to work in your life. Jeremiah, could you come on up this morning and play the keys for us? Or maybe it's this. Maybe you're thinking today, I need to make an intentional decision to follow Christ. I've got to make that change. Go sign up and get baptized next week. Let's talk about that. Let's take that step forward with him. We're going to take communion at this time. There's a lot of us in here today. We've got tables back over here on the sides, and I would invite those of you in the back portion of the room on the ends to use those tables. And those of you in this front area, we're going to split up into lines. It's a little chaotic, but we're going to get it figured out. Just go where it looks like you'll fit. All right, so would everybody stand, please? And just start filing out into the aisles and lining up and taking bread and taking juice. And just take it with you back to your seat. So we're going to take communion together today. This is a declaration of that death. This is a declaration of a new covenant in which his blood is shed for you. I would encourage you, as you go back to your seat and you're waiting for everybody else, to reflect on the reality of the cross and the power of the resurrection. Bring your heart and your mind before him this morning as you reflect on what he's done. If your line is full, just sneak over into some of these others. Going to be sharing with you out of John chapter 13. John is interesting. He doesn't talk about the Last Supper really in terms of the other Gospels. But he does talk about that evening and he talks about what happens. So most of us know the story. They gather for their last meal. Jesus is about to be crucified. And he breaks the bread and he says, "This is my body which is given for you." And he gives them the cup. This is the cup of the new covenant. It's written in my blood. That's how powerful this covenant is. And I want to pick up that evening what Jesus does after this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. So Jesus gets up. He lays aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. When he poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And skipping down to verse 12, it says, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you?'" Do we understand what Jesus has done? Do you really understand? Keep seeking understanding. It's a profound thing that we will seek all of our lives. "Do you understand what I have done to you by washing your feet? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus positioned himself the Lord, Master, Teacher, Creator of all. He puts himself in the lowly position of servant and washes the feet of those that he would die for. Even Judas, by the way. He becomes the servant of all in laying down his life and then says to us, that's my example to you. Even if you're someone's teacher or master, you are to wash their feet. You are to serve them. He's demonstrated the greatest of compassion and love for us. Washing our feet, in a sense, really washing our souls. No greater love has no man than he who lays down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life and then says, that's my example to you. So my encouragement to you as we take communion today, as a community, consider your love for one another. Consider your serving of both God and his people. Consider the beautiful thing of laying down oneself on behalf of others, because that's what Jesus did for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what you've done for us can't be matched. It can't be earned. And so we celebrate today with great joy in our hearts that we're not people that don't have hope. We have a hope because of what you have done for us. And Lord, I pray for every individual in this room as we take this bread today and as we take this cup, that we are reminded of the great gift you have given. And Lord, I pray for all of those who are struggling with receiving that gift from you, who are wrestling with whether or not it's time to surrender my life to you. Lord, I pray that your great love and compassion would wrap your arms around them. What great love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God. We thank you for that. We thank you for your broken body and the blood you shed. You may take the bread. And the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we reflect. Excuse me. We reflect on this moment, Lord, just trying to imagine ourselves in those times. That it wouldn't just be an ancient historical story, but it would be a present living reality in each of us. Lord, I pray that your transformational power would continue to work through each one of us as we go and celebrate what you've done today. God, I pray you bless each family. Lord, I pray you'd be washing that forgiveness over every heart, bringing an ease to people's conscience, washing away the pain of trauma. Lord, you are a compassionate God. Lord, I pray that your hope for our future, for each one, will continue to be infused in each heart and mind as we tell ourselves the truth about what your word teaches. And that truth would bring us freedom and peace. In fact, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, three times John says it, peace be with you. I pray, Lord, that your peace would be with us today as we go about our day and celebrate your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you. Few things, just quickly. If you're going to read your Bible today, go read 1 Corinthians 15. Read it, contemplate it, absorb its truth. And I also want to encourage you, if you need to respond to Jesus today, do it. Whatever that means. Whether you got to come talk to somebody, we're going to have a prayer team over here that would love to pray with you. Whether you're going to want to talk to a family member or friend, just take one step. Just say one prayer. Just bring your life before him in some way. I hope that all of you have a wonderful Easter as you celebrate the resurrection and contemplate the implications of that great victory over death today. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great rest of your day.